Blog Talk Radio.
CBS News cameras rode along with school children in Alabama during a legendary moment in the civil rights movement.
On Sunday, people gathered on Selma's Edmund Pettus Bridge for the anniversary of a brutal showdown there between the protesters and police. Senior White House correspondent Bill Plant, who covered the civil rights movement, returned to Selma yesterday.
The remembrance of Bloody Sunday is a celebration now. But 47 years ago, the violence of that day shocked the nation.
You are ordered to disperse.
The tiny Alabama town of Selma was the focus of a voting rights campaign, and it met with great local hostility. On a Sunday in March 1965, it exploded into state-sanctioned violence when protesters tried to march from Selma to the state capital of Montgomery. John Lewis was 22, a follower of Dr. Martin Luther King. Lewis was one of the two leaders of the march that fateful Sunday. He was beaten, trampled, and tear-gassed when Alabama state troopers charged the marchers at the foot of the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
I thought I was going to die. I thought I saw death.
But this weekend, John Lewis, now a long-serving member of Congress, was back on the bridge. Older now, but still determined.
I think it's important for those that was not even born, not even a dream, to know what happened. I know the price that was paid. The only thing I did, I gave a little blood that day.
For the past 12 years, Lewis has been dedicated to making sure America, and particularly the nation's lawmakers, never forget the civil rights struggle. He leads a bipartisan annual pilgrimage for members of Congress to Selma, where the March on Montgomery grew out of a murderous act of violence in nearby Marion. We were there in 1965.
We were among the few newsmen who arrived early enough before the troopers began holding off the press. One Negro was shot in the stomach. He's in critical condition. He says that he thinks the troopers shot him.
That man was Jimmie Lee Jackson. 8 days later, he died.
His death was the spark that set off the idea for the March on Montgomery. The planning was done here at Brown Chapel AME Church, where for the previous couple of months, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King had been preaching and praying to register black voters in Alabama.
And I want to thank you for responding to the call.
At a dinner hosted by the governor in the Alabama State Capitol, where Jefferson Davis was sworn in as president of the Confederacy, and where George Wallace vowed segregation forever, the young people who made the pilgrimage with Lewis sang of a new day. 47 years in the making, and proof that great change is possible in the span of a lifetime.
Bill Plant is with us now. Two things. One, John Lewis was 22 years old.
That's right.
And it reminds you of the brave, all those brave young men and women at that time, also brave young men and women of the Arab Spring of our time. It must have been hard to cover that kind of story without being drawn into it.
Charlie, nothing I have covered in 48 years at CBS News has been as difficult as that to keep myself out of. Because, you know, the Constitution says everybody can vote. And if I believe that, that was not interfering, I hope.
It was painful and empowering to watch at the same time.
It was.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well, and we're ready to have a good show tonight. It is open mic
night. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Any topic is on for discussion. We're going to talk about things in the past week and things may come up in this coming week. And so grab a drink, sit back and relax because you're among friends here. We're on three nights a week, every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Times. Call in 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. No speaking over the host and turn off all background noises as is rude and inconsiderate. So that's the part to begin. This is Kitchen Politics 123. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, so today is Bloody Sunday anniversary, 59 years to the day when John Lewis, rest in peace, that was a 20-part by Bill Plant on CBS News, where we're remembering Bloody Sunday, where African-Americans, with the help of Dr. Martin Luther King, John Lewis, and Medgar Evers, and whomever else, you know, say, hey, you know, let's come together, register to vote, because as the Constitution said, every person is, you know, can vote. You know, in the 1964 passage of the Civil Rights Act gave African Americans the right to vote. And now, 1964 till now, it is so disgraceful that the same battles the fought and won for, we're fighting for again because Republicans are trying to take away the vote from not only black people, but also people who don't agree with them, you know? So we have to fight back and fight back hard and not let them trample on democracy, and let's not make them take away democracy. So it's very dreadful, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves, but, you know, we've seen worse in America and overcome it, and we'll not really give up. You know, when you write America off, do it at your own peril, because America always fights back. 515-605-9802, the number to call. When you call, say your first name, where you're calling from, and no speaking over the horse. Okay, let's get the first call on the line. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Okay, hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Hi, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I didn't press one. This is Khalil.
Hi, Khalil.
Khalil, what's up, man?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
Good.
Good, good, good. Yes, man. So we're opening tonight with the Blood of Sun, the remembrance where African-Americans were killed in Alabama. And it happened in March of 1965. And school children in Alabama, at a legendary time in the civil rights movement, they and their parents and grandparents marched for the right to vote. And, you know, the Edmund Pettus Bridge, you know, is a pivotal point in the marking of the anniversary. It was a brutal showdown between protesters and police. You know, so, you know, the police were statewide sanctioned violence against African Americans. And the same very thing is happening today where, you know, when you go to the polls, long lines, and Georgia in fact make a law saying that if you leave the lines, you can use the bathroom or eat something, then you lost your place to vote. You know, silly things like that. And if you try to join that line, you get arrested and going to jail. You know, these are the petty shit that they keep doing. Trying to, like, steal the vote from African-Americans. I don't know what it is like in Virginia, you know, but, you know, what's your perspective and thoughts on it?
Well, we have a lot of racism in Virginia, but not only that, Virginia seems to not have it. Because, see, I was at a Poor People's Campaign yesterday. I don't know if you know about that. Like, they do a lot of racist things as far as immigration and other things like that. And not only that, but they'll put so much stronghold on a counselor that's from out of state that wants to do their own counseling, and it'll take them from the clients. But then as soon as someone comes from out of state or out of town to build something that's not affordable, and they'll just allow everybody just to come from everywhere and build things that are not affordable, they don't have their priorities right. So Virginia is not the best state. You know, it's like the realtors and the owners of these apartments can do whatever they want, but if you're actually making a difference, they get on stronghold you, which is just unacceptable.
So would you say it's a big improvement from 1964, or do you see, you know, the racists, like, you know, coming out in droves, you know, because of Donald Trump and Trumpism?
I don't know, because the racists nowadays, they seem to double speak, or they seem to, you know, like people that don't like people like Obama or MLK, they don't want, they act as if they don't right away admit that they're racist. But if you talk against someone that's talking not just about personal, that's not just talking about racism, but personal responsibility, something is wrong with that person. Because the way I feel is like people, if you're going to speak against Martin Luther King, you might as well admit that you're racist. Because basically, if you're doing that, then, because Martin Luther King has not said blame the white man for everything. And people forget those parts, but it just bothers them so much that people like King don't bend over backwards for white supremacy. It's the same thing. Like, I was watching a movie, Get on the Bus, and basically, this guy was using the N-word and stuff like that. It was a scene where he got kicked off the bus, and he was saying, well, you know, let that be a lesson to you, young blood. You get your education, white man can't hold you down, which is true. But then when he started using racial slurs against his own people and all that stuff, people, they acted as if they weren't in agreement. They acted as if, you know, they were going against him because he was telling the truth. First of all, you don't use slurs to tell the truth. Second of all, they had already cheered him on, which I pointed out. And I just said on YouTube, you guys are just not happy that he got kicked off the bus because he didn't bend over backwards for you. It's like you have to bend over backwards for white supremacists.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that bothers me the most is if you can't accept someone having a balance as far as race, then you might as well admit that you're racist. I would rather someone do that than just pretend and then talk to me like I'm stupid.
Yeah, because racism, I think it just gets, you know, they try to be subtle with it, but there's no subtle. They're as subtle as a jackhammer, really. you know, when it comes on to race relations, especially Republicans. I mean, the openness speaking out, you know, against what they're for and the ones to, like, destroy democracy, you know. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. Back then, it was like a code and everything. They tried to codify how to speak and, you know, the dog whistle. I mean, dog whistle is still here, but openly, more openly, Republicans like Trump. Well, Trump can't call anything because, for one, he's stupid. He's too unintelligent and ignorant. You know, he doesn't have a grasp of the English language and everything. You know, so there's that. And, you know, his Republican colleagues who help him because they're so afraid of him, you know, they don't want to stand up for justice and what's right. The only person doing that is Mitt Romney, who is about to leave the U.S. Senate. You know, the what's her name? Former congresswoman from Wyoming, Cheney, and, you know, a couple other Republicans who are part of the establishment, you know. So, I mean, after that Selma thing on the bridge, 6 months later, the Civil Rights Act was passed and the Voting Rights Act was passed. And just recently, the United States Senate, through Democrats, reintroduced the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And, of course, in the 60s, the passage. And the Democrats don't have 60 votes. So we're going to try to convince Republicans again to come on, you know, the right side of history and vote that law through. Because it's important, you know, for America to learn from the history, move forward, you know, and try the healing process, begin the healing process. Because, you know, the United States have not been good to African Americans. And everybody, you know, who is a non-white person coming from Europe or Asia or the Caribbean or Central or Latin America, they got crapped on at one point in history, you know.
Yeah.
So Native Americans and African Americans suffered the most. And now, you know, just so happened that Mexico is on a chopping block because they're the latest in a long line of immigrants. You know, they're scapegoats by Donald Trump and MAGA. So, you know, we're better than that. We can be better than North America.
And the other problem is you have YouTube. You used to have a lot of people on YouTube that were social justice warriors, real ones, but now you got the fake ones that they are against actual things that are progressive or things that help minorities. They just want to hate on officers, but they could give a damn about actual officers being racist or violating someone's rights. Because even because of the comments that they make, and then not only that, but I was watching a FBI file on Mississippi Burning, and the person, one of the people who was commenting, it was a black emoji of a black woman. She was saying, well, those white boys got that black boy killed. And I was talking against what she said, and she had said, well, stuff about playing the race card, accusing me of that. But then two days later, or a bunch of days later, she's defending an actual guy that's actually going around a power plant with dark sunglasses, bandana on face, just who wants to try to get a lawsuit, you know, from, you know, defend him from the police. It's like, how are you going to defend someone that's actually trying, doing some dangerous, fear in people's hearts, but you're not going to defend someone that was actually murdered from 1964? If I had, if I had the comments able, I would have told her off for that. It's like, you rather someone, you rather an officer be in trouble for, you know, investigating and keeping us safe than an officer being in trouble for committing murder. It's like, who are you? Not who are you, but who is this person? It doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, because we don't have people like Donald Trump talking about, oh, you know, there are fine people on both sides. When that happened in, was it in Raleigh, North Carolina, where that young girl was run over by the car and everything. You know, why the hell? Oh, it was in your town. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, why the hell would anybody vote for an ignoramus fool like him after saying that? He's given excuses. And, you know, he's like trying to cover for white nationalists and neo-Nazis and that type of ilk in society. You know, it's like we're back to George Wallace's days and even way before that, you know? We can do better than this. The world looking at us as the bastions of democracy. but yet still have people like Trump getting free airtime, you know, getting lauded as, yes, he's going to be the savior of America. You know, the first 4 years was absolute hell in his first term. You know, he was on a revenge spree. But if he thought that was revenge, imagine if he gets a second term. And with the Supreme Court, you know, not be able to rule or take up his case within 7 weeks' time and a further two-week delay. I mean, they're trying to delay and delay and delay till after the elections. And God help us all if he wins re-election. Because who knows, if he wins re-election, serve 4 more years, we'll have another election, you know, because of the 22nd Amendment, I think it is. You know, you're not allowed more than 2 terms. But Donald Trump has made it clear that he wants to be president for life. You know, George Wallace couldn't get away with it, if Richard Nixon, the most corrupt person in modern times, who was president and had to resign because of Watergate, couldn't get away with it, then why the hell does Donald Trump think he can be a dictator? It's not going to happen.
I want to go back a moment to the Voting Rights Act that was just proposed once again, because I think it's important to talk about. The act was enacted in 1965, like we said, 4 months after what happened in Selma, Alabama. But then after that, just recently, Chuck Schumer and a few Republicans, a few other senators reintroduced the bill. And this is what Chuck Schumer said, and I think this is important. Today, we are reintroducing the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act because we know how crucial, how critical it is for us to do our part to expand access to the ballot box and end voter discrimination, he went on to say. And the Senate Democrats in 2013 highlighted a case. It was called Shelby versus Holder, which reduced the power of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. So this reintroduction also comes in response to the state law levels that make it harder to vote. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to give, not only reintroduce it, but even make it more clear, more powerful, so that more people can vote instead of not vote. And then it also said last year alone, state legislators in 14 enacted 17 laws that made it harder for people, particularly people of color, to vote. And this is what Dick Durbin, the Senate Judiciary Chairman, Dick Durbin said. So it's important to know and to remember that, you know, these people in 1965, you know, they did something really important. They, you know, they wanted to vote. They made it happen. And a few people got killed because of it. And that's why they call it Bloody Sunday. And it is horrendous to me. It's horrible to think that here we are in 2024 and people still have to fight for rights. They still have to fight to vote. They still have to be discriminated against, even though they work just as hard as anyone else. And it's a sad day in this country, sad days in this country, because we see it, and it's more open now than ever.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, in my opinion, Donald Trump and the Republican Party, these MAGA Republicans, to thank for all the hatred and the division that is going on in this country. We always had racism. I am sure of that. But now it is outward. It's blatant. People are saying hurtful things to each other in lines, in stores. They're just horrible. They're telling them to go back to their country. It is disgusting. And there is no absolute, there is no reason for any of it, none whatsoever. People are people. We all bleed the same. We all have red blood. Why can't people understand that? That is the part that gets me more than anything else, is that people don't understand that everyone bleeds red at some point in their life. They do. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times they need blood. And what if they get, you know, a Latino's blood or a black person's blood, or you're white and you get a black person's blood? I mean, really? I mean, it's appalling to even think. But this is how they think. So we have to do everything that we can to try to fix the wrongs that have been done in this country and push forward and want people to be more equal and to get paid better wages. And this is what we need in this country. We don't need this division. We don't need Donald Trump, the dementia-crazed moron that can't even speak two sentences. He slurs, he's sweating, he's making fun of the back of his head. People just laugh at him. But will they vote for him? That's the question. But will
That's
they
the thing.
Vote
they him? Will vote for him. They will vote for him. That's a scary part. We have North Carolina calling in. Hello, North Carolina. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Well, I mean, I'm listening to the comments here, and I'm just curious as to Joe Biden. What policies has Joe Biden and his administration done to make anything better in America today? Can you name at least
one? Well,
the
CHIPS Act. Well, Carla, the CHIPS Act, the forgiving student loans, the infrastructure bill. He has done a lot in his first 3 years than, you know, more than Donald Trump has done in 4 years. You know, climate change.
So what's your position on the border situation, where now we have an increase in crime? We have we have 40 million undocumented people running around now in the country, undocumented. They came in illegally. Mm-hmm. They broke the law now. Okay, so they're lawbreakers. So what do we do about that? How can we address that?
Well,
first of all, Carla, go ahead, Lori.
What I was going to say is, 2 weeks ago, the Republicans and the Democrats got together, and they came together and put a bill together that is probably the toughest bill that's been done in years upon years. Now, you have to remember, the immigration problem did not start just yesterday. This immigration problem has started many, many years ago because the Republicans and the Democrats cannot get together to make a good bill. Now, President Biden said that he would sign the bill, and it was a bill that would give more border patrol, more money to help with the border, really tough regulation, and guess what?
I read the bill. I read the bill, and it would give Washington, D.C. It would give.
I'm talking. Excuse me? And guess what? Who killed the bill? He's not even in office, and he told them to kill the bill, and that's exactly what they did. After they worked a week on this bill, and they all agreed on it, Republicans and Democrats wanted this bill. Now,
and the Republicans wrote the bill.
Trump, who is not in office, that is not in office, he is not anybody, he is a nobody, and he thinks that he can tell these other MAGA Republicans what to do, and they listen to him? Excuse me? That is not how the government runs.
And the Republicans wrote the bill.
Exactly.
Well, I don't think the Republicans wrote the bill, but I read the bill, and they would give Washington, D.C. absolute power over immigration. It would take away the state sovereign rights of the state.
The Republicans wrote the bill. It was their bill. And Joe Biden and the Democrats sat down with them, and there was compromises. The Republicans wrote the bill.
They wrote the original first draft.
Gave in to the Republicans. And by the way, crime is down. And by the way, there is less illegal immigrants. It's down. I don't know where you're getting your statistics from, but they're wrong, and they're propaganda. Now, if you show some facts.
Hang on, there's less, you said? There's less illegal immigration now in this country? Down from what? Since Biden took over?
Have you seen any of the video that they have been scanning, that different reporters from both sides have been going down there. If you just pay attention and watch, there's not that many people coming through. There really is not. Not at this point.
40 million people. 40
no,
million in the last 3.5 years. Yes.
From? Send me the link. Send me the link. Where did you get 40 million from? Maybe in 60 years, 40 million.
I can send it to you.
Maybe in 60 years. Come on.
We know for a fact.
Where are 40 million going to come from? Do you
okay,
know how many 40 million people, how much space they would? Come on. Be logical. Be logical.
It wouldn't take up that
That's
much
like
space,
the size
actually.
Of a city. Okay.
Why are they, why are Democratic cities then rejecting the this safe city policy? New York City.
You know who rejected was Speaker Johnson. He killed the bill when Trump called him up and told him to kill the bill, and he did. And Speaker Johnson should not even be there because he doesn't know how to be a Speaker of the House on the Republican side. He has no backbone, so our experience, okay? So if you're going to call into the show and think that you know your stuff, have some facts.
I do know my stuff. I do know my stuff. And I've analyzed it. Look, I do a podcast show myself, and I'm running for public office here in North Carolina, so I know what I'm talking about. Okay,
yeah,
so
okay.
So when you say
– where do your facts come from?
For public office doesn't mean that you're a truth seeker. It does not mean that you tell the truth. Excuse me, we've learned a lot in these last few years.
Okay, so, okay, well, hang on. You mocked Trump's president. Okay,
right.
Well, let's go over the facts. Let's go over the facts, then, of Trump's presidency compared to Biden's presidency, then.
Oh,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's do that.
Let's where do you want to start? Let's start with the economy.
You know what I want to start with? The 2017 tax cut that the billionaires and the corporations got, and
okay.
Now they pay no taxes, and maybe, I don't know about
who
you.
Who creates jobs in this country?
You,
do poor people create jobs in this country? No, corporations do. They hire.
Okay, but Carla, what do corporations do? What corporations do is send jobs overseas, okay, for tax breaks and everything. Reason being, you know, that they don't want to pay taxes here. They can get workers
get
cheaper. Yeah, and they have tax havens and everything, and secret bank accounts, offshore bank accounts and everything.
Let's pretend you're in charge of Amazon or eBay or one of these big conglomerates. Corporations,
mm-hmm.
You would want to, your business is to make money. So you're going to go where you have to pay the least amount of taxes. I mean, you're about profits. You're a businessman. Am I right or wrong?
Okay. So you're saying it's okay that our deficit in our country right now could be fixed if the 1% and the corporations share. That's
no.
okay
first
to you?
Of all, the deficit,
That's okay
the
to
deficit,
you?
No, the deficit
is
cannot
okay
be paid off.
You? I'm asking you a question, and it is definitely
no, it's not
a fact
okay.
That if
the
okay,
deficit,
then so why
monetary
support,
policy is controlled by the
why,
Federal Reserve.
Stop! I'm talking first. Excuse me, this is my show. Now, why is it that corporations, if they paid their fair share of taxes, billionaires and corporations I'm talking about, not people that
yep.
make millions, people that make billions are not paying
yep.
taxes in this country. So we have a deficit. So it is a proven fact that if they paid their share of taxes, like everybody
What's
else
their
in
share?
This country, they would not,
What's their share?
We would not
What's
have
their share?
A deficit.
Well, what's their share?
You tell
what?
Us
what would
you're
be their
running
share?
Office. What's
yeah,
your share?
What's
you could
share?
Tax every single American in this
share?
Country 100% of their paychecks for 1 year, and you still could not pay off the deficit. It's over $30 trillion.
Please.
You know how much money
Give
that
me
is?
Right.
Where are you
deficit?
Getting the numbers from?
The deficit
you pay this
was created
deficit
by off. Donald J. Trump. He created the deficit.
He sure did.
He
Go
created back. The deficit. The numbers were created by Donald J. Trump.
He added to the deficit, yes.
He
did
created
add to
the
deficit.
Deficit.
Yeah, he didn't create it.
No, you're
did
wrong.
Not create George Bush
yes,
created
also,
the deficit. What are you talking
let's
about?
Let's go a little bit farther. Let's go a little farther. Okay. Do you remember COVID? Do you remember COVID? And how
Yeah, whose fault is that? That's Trump's
oh,
fault?
Oh, it's going to go and inject bleach into yourself, and you'll be fine. How many millions of people died because of him?
Huh? How many?
Well, what did Trump have to do with COVID? What did he have to do with COVID? What, how was that his fault?
He did nothing. Wait. One at a time. He did nothing to help people with COVID. He was telling people to inject themselves with bleach and take horse pills and all that, and people died because of his advice. He's not a medical doctor, but he knows everything, of course. You know, so he was at fault for, you know, a lot of people dying because of belief sanction in this guy, Donald Trump.
What?
You know, they worship him so much, and that died some of them for it, you know? So he's not a good person, you know? I want to ask you a question. So, calling North Carolina. So, all eyes are on the courts in North Carolina now. A number of controversial anti-voting laws passed by the legislature last year is now being challenged by the courts. You know, what's the deal with North Carolina in you know, the anti-voting laws?
Well, you don't think having to show an ID to vote is right, is correct? I mean, I mean, what's wrong with showing an ID to prove who you are to vote?
Well, we're here in New Mexico, you don't. You need an ID to sign up and get your voter registration. But when you come to vote, you need to know your name and your address. And it works fine.
And how does that curb voter fraud?
No, it doesn't.
You don't think there's any voter fraud? You don't think that any? I mean, you don't think that could stop voter fraud, voter ID?
No, it is not.
No.
How does it hurt anyone? That was my question, though.
It doesn't anyway. Besides, even when there is no voter fraud, you guys just make up that there is and lie and pretend. So it doesn't really matter if there is or isn't.
And added to which, those people who have made voter fraud has been Trump supporters in the past, you know, especially in Florida, where I used to live for many years, you know. And you know, the mother died, for example, and there's vote for anywhere, our spouse, you know. So... You know, that's what's happening when Republicans can't win on the issues. You know, the call fraud, you know, to say, oh, you know, the Democrats, oh, you know, they're stealing votes, they're making dead people vote. That's not the case, Carla.
And they bring in,
you know?
Truckloads of illegal aliens, which is so funny because they talk about how busload after busload after busload of them come in and vote and then go back home. Except nobody's ever seen the buses. There's not a picture. Everybody in this country has a cell phone with a camera in it. There's not a single picture of those busloads. I've worked several times as a voter worker at the polls, and we've had no instances of fraud, no instances of people trying to vote when they're not registered and not for the as themselves. It's never happened.
So the documentary 20,000 Mules was all fake. The video that they have a ballot
Absolutely.
Harvesting and stuffing ballots—that's all fake. The video.
Of course it's fake.
Horseshit.
Of course it's fake.
Unreal. Wow. So that's absolute video. You have documented evidence, and you're denying it.
It's unreal that you are dumb enough to believe it. That's what's unreal.
Now here we go with the name calling. Did I call anybody names here? Did I call anybody names?
You're from North Carolina? You know that here in New Mexico, where we're an actual border state, that you can go to the border anytime, and it's down lower than it's been in 40 years.
Well, I don't know where you're getting these numbers from. Where are you
getting
your numbers from?
Are you a border
I'll tell you
state
in 1 second.
You're in North Carolina. You're on the border of South Carolina. You're on the border of the ocean. You're not on the border of Mexico. You know we're near fucking Mexico. I can read a map.
What's that got to do with it? The border is the border, and I'm an American citizen.
You don't
citizen.
Know what the hell you're talking about. I drove through there not that long ago. Through El Paso, right at the border. Could see across the river. Nothing bad going on.
Okay.
Have you
well,
actually been to the border?
These imaginary caravans that no one's ever gotten a picture of. I love how you guys create these.
Last month alone, 8 million have come in illegally. Last month alone, and that
really?
Is from that. This is factcheck.org. This is factcheck.org.
Don't think we noticed if the state population doubled in a month? You don't think we'd notice that?
They're not in your state. They're getting shipped all across the country.
Oh,
how?
Please.
From where?
We've seen the buses. We've seen the buses.
Yeah,
we have video of it.
Shipped by Governor Abbott to other states by lying to
you
people.
Just told
this
me, though, that they weren't
anything.
Being shipped. So which is it?
The Florida governor, that jackass DeSantis.
By the way, this guy is running for office. You are rude, and you do not have your facts. I don't know how
any facts right now.
You are rude.
That's fine.
Yep.
I think you're being rude too by calling
rude.
Me names and calling me dumb. This is what you do. This is what liberals do. They start
no,
yelling
you
and you can't
rude.
Have an honest discussion.
You have been rude since you made the call.
You
and you
have
haven't,
a border
you haven't
in North Carolina. We have one here in New Mexico. And we don't have a problem. You have a problem. Are they coming out of the ocean? Where are they coming from to get to you?
You don't have a problem, huh? You don't have a problem
no.
in New Mexico.
No.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Really?
Well, I'm going to sit here and tell you right now the numbers by factcheck.org. You just told me the numbers. You said that, and you're disputing this now. Okay. I'm giving
I'm
you my
your source of fact checking because I can see with my own eyes, and I don't ever believe anybody who tells me don't believe what you see, believe what I tell you. Like your asshole buddy.
So you monitor
Trump
the border
does.
Every single day. You monitor the border
no,
every day.
I don't monitor it every single day, but I do live in the state where there is a border, unlike you, and you just make up facts and then claim that they're facts and we should all believe you. We don't. If
I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm not asking you to believe me.
Traffic would be doubled. Everything would be doubled, and it isn't. There isn't that
Why
many
did
people
Biden
in Albuquerque.
Stop? Why did Biden stop the use of Title 42 in May? Why did he do that? The federal public health emergency for COVID-19 ended, and since the recidivism rate has dropped, right, it was 11% in August, according to the CBP. Why did he stop the Title 42? What was the reason for it?
Why are we suddenly on COVID when you've lost, because you have no facts about the population bullshit?
Because this has to do with the border.
Uh-huh.
Because this has to do with the border.
No, it doesn't.
No,
yes,
it doesn't.
Okay.
Isn't this guy's running for office where?
Well, what subject would you like to address them? What subject? Because you think Biden's this great president that has done such great
yes.
things with the inflation up over 8.5% every year.
Name one great thing Trump ever did. Name one
He doesn't
God
even know where he is.
Huh?
The guy doesn't even know where he is.
Really?
Trump doesn't know where he is.
Where he was. You better believe Trump didn't know where he was over the weekend. Did you see him? He was slurring his
words. Yes, I did, matter of fact. Yeah, I saw him yesterday.
He's
Greensboro,
disgusting.
North Carolina. Yep. Looked like he was just fine to me.
Did you see Trump at the border?
And the Coliseum was packed.
Did you see Trump at the border?
Wait. Okay,
Trump
hold on.
Is at the
okay,
border. Trump is at the border trying to get votes from the people crossing the water, coming into the country. He was waving to them and jumping up and down. He thought it was a rally.
Legal border control agent.
Trump was standing there waving to the crowd, jumping up and down. He thought it was a rally.
Oh, my God.
Elaine, stop talking.
Okay.
I'm trying to make a point, Elaine. You still get a chance to talk. Okay, you brought up Title 42. What is the immigration rule and why it has ended? Okay, so after more than 3 years, a rule that allowed that for the rapid expulsion of many illegal migrants has ended. The end of the COVID-19 pandemic has brought an end to the immigration policy known as Title 42. And the United States will now return to pandemic Title 8 laws that governs asylum and deportations. So tens of thousands of migrants have surged the U.S.-Mexico border, according to some sources, and the United States President Joe Biden acknowledged that the change on May 11th last year would mean it's going to be chaotic for a little while. Okay, so Title 42 dates back to 1944 law. It was known as the Public Health Act, which granted the United States authority emergency powers to prevent the spread of diseases. So in March 2020, the Trump administration invoked the statute
statute, Santa Anita stopped the spread of COVID-19 across the borders. So when Title 42 was in place, United States authorities were able to swiftly remove migrants across the border from Mexico, including asylum seekers, using the pandemic as a justification. Okay, so some 2.8 million people were expelled while Title 42 was in place, according to United States
Correct.
Customs and Border Protection. Cool. Okay. So it ended in January 2021 when Joe Biden and his administration kept the policy in place and continued to defend it as a public health measure for more than a year. Okay? So citing a diminished public health risk in April 2022, the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control, which oversees U.S. health policy, signaled to end the policy. Republican-led states are trying to find a way to keep the policy in place. A proposed Senate bill backed by Arizona Independent Senator Kristen Sinema and North Carolina Republican Tom Tillis would allow for rapid expulsion of a manner similar to Title 42, but without public health justification. Okay, so the impact on the border, United States officials have processed more than 10,000 arrivals at the border each day this week. You know, this was back in, I don't even know the date of this article. So, it's up about 5,000 in March last year.
Not 8 million,
5,000 in March last year. So border facilities were holding some 28,000 migrants, far beyond their capacity, you know. So what happened, you know, to cope with the influx, the Department of Homeland Security has stationed 24,000 more law enforcement officers and deployed 1,500 active duty troops at border. Meanwhile, Mexico is also sending troops to the border with Central America to control the expected increase in the migrants' attempt to reach the United States. So the Title 8 is a decade-old pre-pandemic law that governs how migrants are deported. It will now form the primary legal basis for the U.S. immigration policy. Compared to Title 42, Title 8 allows more migrants to request asylum and be screened for a credible fear of returning to their country. You know, credible fear meaning, you know, suppose they disagree with their government, you know, and the government see them as enemy of what they're doing. They could just easily kill them. A perfect example of that is Haiti, for example, where every 2 seconds there's a military coup or the president is killed, you know, and there's chaos in Haiti, and the people, you know, jump on makeshift boats and come to the United States to try to start a new life, you know. So those deemed eligible are processed for release and must attend an immigration court, which while those who are not are deported, you know. So Title 8 is, you know, more, it speed up the process quicker, you know. Don't you feel that,
okay.
North Carolina?
No, I don't agree with you. I believe it doesn't speed up the process quicker. It actually slows down the process, because under Title 42, they were allowed to expel illegal immigrants quicker under that title. And now that title's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's bogging down Homeland Security and Border Patrol a great deal. They're having their encounters are way up. They had over, 650,000 encounters just last 6 months alone. Okay,
mm-hmm,
and they cannot process these people, and they're being let go and let loose and shift across the country. Wait, you think they're going to show up for their court date? You really think that? So
no,
look at the crime
is,
that has
that's
been
why,
occurring, though.
That's why Joe Biden and the Democrats. That's why.
Wait.
Before I ask the question, that's why Joe Biden is trying to put more money in the Border Patrol, get more people to work for Border Patrol, so when we have more people, we can process them quicker. You know what Ron DeSantis and Governor Abbott been doing is shipping them to liberal cities and overcrowding the place, you know? And that's not wrong. And you know, not even telling them that, hey, you're going to this place. You know, just dumping liberal cities, you know? That's not right.
They wanted to go. Listen, no, those are sanctuary cities declared by Democrats. Democrats, San Francisco, New York City, those are sanctuary cities by Democrat-controlled cities.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why do you dislike immigrants? What do you have against immigrants?
I have nothing against immigrants if they come to this country legally.
Hold on. Because when you talk, you have a hatred. I can feel that you have this hatred for these people that are coming into this country to try to get a better life, because what they're leaving, obviously, going through razor wire has to tell you, don't you think? That has to tell you something about the lives that they're leaving, doesn't, or the country they're leaving. Doesn't that tell you anything?
It sure does.
But you know what? Hold on. I'm not done. So why can't we have a little bit of heart and empathy and some soul in the greatest country in the world with money, and we can do it all, and people like you, have nothing but hate in your heart because you don't feel that you feel you're better than them. You're not. You were born here. It doesn't make you better than them.
I do. I feel I'm a law-abiding American citizen, and I am better if I obey the law.
And do you know that it is not illegal to request asylum in any country in this world? What? You could go to Russia tomorrow and request
asylum
and not be...
You're wrong. The asylum law is when you have to seek asylum in the next country you set foot in. Okay? Those people are coming up from El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua. They're not coming up directly from Mexico.
And what's wrong with
the
law from there?
In other words,
because you were born on the arbitrary side of some arbitrary law in the sand, that makes you a better person? Because believe me, you don't come across as a better person. You come across as a hateful asshole.
You do.
Well, again, here we are, reverting to name calling. Who's calling names first? Who's calling names first?
I apologize for it. Try listening.
Who's calling names first?
Yeah. Now,
I didn't call you any names. Okay, good. Thank you.
I just fucking apologized three times to you.
I said thank
you.
Calm down. Thank you.
Long enough to hear that.
Oh, Madonna. Okay, so see, that is what I'm trying to say, because this is what I feel. I feel that all these politicians have grasped onto something, because the Republicans haven't done a darn thing in all the years that they've been in power. They haven't done anything. So now all of a sudden they have this border problem that they have blew up like it's some kind of a bomb that's going to destroy the country. It's not. It's not going to destroy the country.
Why then? Let me ask you a question. Why in all Democratic-controlled cities and towns and across this country you have soaring crime, you have poverty rates that are so high, education.
Propaganda.
That's not true. Okay.
All
right. That's
propaganda. It is propaganda. I live in one of the cities. I know what I'm talking about. That's propaganda.
So Atlanta, for instance, that's a successful city.
Atlanta.
San Francisco, successful. Portland, Oregon. Seattle, Washington.
So what are you saying? So you're saying that these immigrants that have, let's go through this for a moment. You're an immigrant that comes for the Rio Grande, let's say, okay? You have a backpack on your back, right?
Yeah.
You have your clothes on your back, maybe. You might have a pair of shoes. And when you get, if you can get through the barbed wire, then maybe you might have a chance to hit land, right?
Well, when you see that, hang on. Can I ask you a question?
I'm not done. So then maybe you might get processed. You might get a place to sleep. And then you're going to go and do what? Terrorize people with what? What do you have that you're going to terrorize people with? What do you have? You don't have a nickel to your name. You don't have a job. You don't have a place to live with. You thought maybe that you set foot in a country that has some heart and hope. But then there's people like you that won't even allow that because you think that they are criminals without even seeing their faces. So don't talk to me anymore about
it. Now, hang on. Now, you said come to a fence and jump the fence or cut through the fence. Let's see. Crime number one.
It's not a fence. It's razor wire. Have you seen it?
Razor wire. Why would you jump over razor wire? Why would you do that?
Because you're desperate. You are desperate. I've watched the family go through the razor wire. I've watched it. Now,
and they're all running for their lives, right? They're all running for these lives,
these immigrants. Yes, from where they were coming from. That's how desperate they are, from where they were coming from. I don't think understand.
Okay, so why not Africa? Africans then, China, and North Koreans. Why don't we accept everybody? We'll just let everybody come to America because they want to and have a better life, right?
Oh, my Lord.
You just said...
Lori, this guy's a jerk. Come on.
I'm not talking anymore.
Okay, Carla. You talk about the crime rate. According to this 2024 statistic, January, it was done by United Nations. District of Columbia is number one in violent crime. New Mexico, Louisiana, Colorado, South Carolina, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Washington, Tennessee, Oregon. Those are the top 10 states with the highest crime rate in the country now. You know? It's not, it's not San Francisco. It's not New York City. Those have been going down. You know, Tennessee, for example, which was like a bastion of, good things, meaning there wasn't a high crime rate and what have you. But it has changed because what Republicans have done to the state, people get desperate.
And Republicans.
You get what I'm saying?
But Republicans don't control those areas.
Who is the U.S. Senator in Tennessee? You know, the Tennessee, Marshall Blackburn, who are the Congress people there? Who's the governor?
You're saying the whole state. What city in that state? Nashville doesn't represent the whole state.
Republican controlled states, according to this list, Tennessee, Arkansas, South Carolina, Louisiana, some Democratic states and District of Columbia make it up to them, but I'm saying that, California, San Francisco, it's not good, but you're making it out worse than it is,
According to what I got here, I got San Francisco, Oakland, California, Fresno, and Bakersfield, California, four cities that are most dangerous places in this country. Seattle, Colorado Springs, Phoenix, Tucson, El Paso. Interrupt me here before I finish my point every time. I won't stop. All right, I'll stop naming all the cities. But all those cities are Democrat-run cities. They're democratically run. You don't believe me? I mean, can I prove it to you?
So in other words, it's okay to just go around and carry a gun and, open carry and all of that.
Yeah, open carry, I carry one every day everywhere I go.
I kind of figured that, and I'm glad I don't know you and live in the state you don't live in. That's for sure.
Well, guess what? My state's pretty safe, I'm at in my county's pretty safe.
I know, because you know why? Your state's safe because you live there and you carry a gun every day. That's why your state is safe.
Because we are Republican controlled and
it's
still safe, man. It's still safe.
Do Democrats not have prisons? Really?
So Carla from North Carolina. You don't mind.
Yes, sir.
What's your first name? We'll just go by first name.
My name is Joe. My last name is Gibson.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And so are you running for Congress or statewide?
North Carolina House of Representatives, District 65, Rockingham County.
I have to write that down.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Sure you can.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be open to having you one day on a show, for an interview, I mean, if you're open to that and everything, we'll talk about more.
Yeah, if you want to have a conversation, I'm open for that. I'm not interested in shouting matches either. If you want to have a conversation, I'm open for that.
But what you have to understand, sir, is that it's very difficult because you feel that there is more crime in a Democratic state than there is in a Republican state. And that's true. That is not true. I live in a Democratic
You're correct. You're right. You're right. That's not true. You're right. I said cities, ma'am. I said cities, not states.
I know what you're talking about. You're not the only one that thinks they know what they're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I research what I talk about. I don't just blow things off. Okay? I do not. So that you can take to the bank with you. And you have to understand that in this point in time, I have never in my life, I've always been a Democrat. I will tell you that. I've always been a Democrat. I was raised a Democrat, and I'll probably die a Democrat. That's fine. That's my thing, because I feel that Democrats have more heart, more empathy. They have more feelings for people. They care about people. They do not want to get into people's business. They don't want to get into women's wombs. They don't want to get into women's rights. None of that. They want people to live free lives. And that is why I'll never, ever be a Republican. And no one in my family will ever be a Republican for that reason. Just take the Abortion Act. Why is it that men, especially Republican men, think that they can tell a woman that she cannot have an abortion? It is no one's business to tell a woman.
I'll answer the question.
Who does not live in your home, who does not live in your home, she's not your neighbor, she's not anybody to you personally, to tell her she can't have an abortion. That is crap.
Can I answer the question?
You can answer it all you want. I won't agree. I promise you.
That's fine. That's fine. But you asked me a question. You phrased it as a question, because that child is entitled to their rights also. That's a human being, and no one has a right to take another human being's life.
Okay. Stop. Stop right there. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say that this woman decides, because, you know, she's decided, well, maybe I won't have abortion. Maybe my child will, you know, go to a family. Have you ever adopted a child? Have you ever thought about adopting a child? Do you know anyone that has ever adopted a child that was going to be aborted? I know I don't. And I've asked. And people say, no, I'm too old. I have a family. I have kids. I don't want to do that. That's why. And
I
you
know
what? That's part of the whole thing.
Okay, there are many people out there willing to adopt children. It doesn't matter.
What?
That child is still entitled to their right to live.
Wait a minute. Okay, that
can I ask him a question? Can I ask him a question?
You sure can. All right.
Every day at the end of our news program in my city, they have the children that are ready to be put into society. They're 18 years old.
Yep.
Who have never been adopted.
Nope.
And all of a sudden at 18, who've never had a family, they've been bounced from pillar to pillar to post, family to family. Some of the families that they were fostered by abused them. And yet at 18 years old, they're put out on the street. And there's no help from them from the Republicans. So you tell me, you tell me how you love children.
Yeah. And you know, the
again,
other thing is,
again. So that gives me the right to kill them? That gives me the right to decide who lives and who dies?
Excuse me, sir. That gives you the right to put a young person on the street to live in torture, not have a place to go?
Torture?
Because
nobody I thought this was
gave
the greatest
a shit
country.
For 18 years.
I thought this country was the
Give
richest country on earth and had so many opportunities. That's why we're letting all these people come across the border.
And having been a foster parent and an adoptive parent, do you know what they get when you turn them loose? They get $250. They're not allowed to have a driver's license. They don't have insurance. They don't have medical coverage. They get nothing. How far would you get by yourself out on the street with nothing for $250? That's what, the hotel room for maybe three nights?
I'll answer that question. Maybe if we stop giving the credit cards and the free handouts to the illegal immigrants that are crossing over, we'll give them to the American citizens.
Nobody does that. You are full of shit. They do not give credit cards to
I called the hotel live on my podcast, and yes, they are. They were removing veterans from a hotel and their stay and giving in their rooms to illegal immigrants. Yes, that
is
true.
That is a full-faced lie.
Oh, you can call it a lie, but I have it on tape. I have it on the archive show.
My husband is from another country, and he's been here for 20 years. He's been working. He's been paying into it. We've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on trying to get him certified, get him legal, and we have gone through thousands of dollars with lawyers, hundreds of times for more than 5 years, and he hasn't gotten it. He doesn't even qualify to get medical insurance.
Well,
every
that's wrong.
Time he gets sick. Well, it is.
Well, that's
but
wrong.
That's what our country does. So where's his credit cards? Where's his hotel room for free?
Exactly. I know. The system is broken.
None of that
they're
is
handing
true.
These out in New York. They're handing these out in New York City. Yes, yes
no,
they are. In Long Island, New York City. Yes, they are.
That's a lie.
For God's sake.
That's a lie.
Well, I interviewed the hotel. I interviewed
here.
The lady. Okay, it might
that's
not happen
lie.
There.
Let's get,
it
back.
Might not happen
let's get
there.
Back to these kids
yeah,
that you don't want
to
help.
These people,
just what are the Republicans doing for these kids that are on the street? What are you doing for the children that are on the street? What
well,
are you doing for the young adults
doing?
On the street? Nothing.
Is it my job to save
nothing.
Every child
you're
in America?
Fingers
I'm, running
at them. I'm not
I'm
done talking.
You
point you fingers
questions.
At them.
Okay.
Are you going to answer the question for me? Are you answering the question for me? I mean, because I thought you were asking me a question. He said, what am
done.
I doing for
I'm done, so answer it.
Okay. I am running for public office, clearly. Obviously, I've stated that, and I will create legislation to help these people out. Stop this Planned Parenthood scam out there in the minority neighborhoods where they're mostly planned to
what
place these buildings and places. Yes.
One second. What do you mean Planned Parenthood scam? What does that mean? What does that mean?
We know they're organ harvesting. They've been caught. We know they're organ
what?
Harvesting. We know that they're tricking women into abortion.
He's a conspiracy theorist.
Now I'm a
yes.
conspiracy theorist. How is that? Yes. We have it on video.
None of that's true.
So true. Human trafficking is not true then. Organ harvesting is not true.
No,
no, absolutely not
really.
True.
Not,
okay.
at,
really.
Not at Parenthood, not at Planned Parenthood. Do you know what Planned Parenthood is for? Do you know what it's used
yes,
for?
Yes, I know.
Have you ever been in a clinic? Have you ever been inside of one? I've been inside. I've
we've interviewed
to,
people.
Have
we've
you,
undercover interviewed people who worked there, yes.
Oh, and what? You have undercover interviewed people in a Planned Parenthood, and they're taking out parts of people's out of women's bodies and reselling them? Come on. And you expect me to believe you?
The children.
Never.
The children. The children.
Oh, my God.
You can deny
more.
It all you want.
Take the baby
this is the problem. This is the problem
people.
With the Democrats. We can show you the evidence. We can show you a video. We can document
we can
everything. And you still deny it.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
you still
Joel,
fake
question.
Video. Yes, yes
Joel,
sir.
Question. What if, you know, the woman or young girl has been raped by an uncle or a father and everything? Do you think that, you know, that woman should have that baby for the rapist?
I believe she should. I mean, she should put it up for adoption, yeah. I mean, if her life is in jeopardy, if her life is in jeopardy, which is very rare, then obviously we save the mother.
Do you have any idea what you just said? Do you understand what you just said? Or is it
nearly as rare as
so
you
why does
the
child have to suffer, though? Why does the child have to suffer?
Why
is it's
the
not the child's fault.
Why does she have to suffer?
See. When that child is born, first of all, the mother will remember every single time she looked at that baby that she was raped, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like
that's
if
not
your
true.
Wife was raped or your girlfriend was raped?
True.
That's
would
not true.
Like
have you ever been raped?
Would you like that? Would you like
I
that?
No, I've
you
never been raped, and I don't plan on having any children.
Well,
again.
I have and got a pregnant. And
so
I got
you
to
claim
you.
You're pro-life, right?
That's
you.
You
claim you're
pro-life? That's you.
So
I'm
pro-life.
Pro-life. Yes, I am. Yes. Yes.
Are you willing to get a bisectomy?
Why should I get a bisectomy? Why?
Why should you get a bisectomy? Is that,
why
is that an invasion on your body?
I'm not making children, going and making children all over the place.
Your sperm makes the children.
That's right. Went
why
with my
aren't
wife.
You willing to get a bisectomy?
What? No.
It's your
why
dangling that makes the children.
I can control myself.
Oh, you can? Oh.
Yeah. I can speak for myself. Why Democrats? I thought Democrats don't control other people.
You can tell your friend not to work? Give me a break.
I'm not out raping women.
Oh, but to get a vasectomy, Joe, is that an invasion on your body?
Yes, it is, because I'm not out raping women. What are you talking about? Why should I get
raped
and stop making
women? When a woman is raped, she was invaded. She hasn't got a right to decide what to do.
She has a right to decide to do with her own body, but not the life growing inside of her. No.
She has a right to do with what she wants.
Take that up with God, sir. Take that up with God.
And a man should get a vasectomy at age 18. Every boy, every male, when they get into puberty and they have viable sperm, they need to get a vasectomy. When they legally get married, married, then the man can get it unsnipped. Now, how do you like the tables turned on you?
That's right.
Again, I'm not out raping anyone. What do you mean tables turned on me? No one's saying that the woman is not a victim.
I have a plan. I have a plan. Don't you think it's a good plan?
I didn't hear you.
I said, don't you think it's a good plan? Every male, when they turn 18.
Every single male. So we're going to terminate the entire planet Earth population.
Every single man. Because you want to control every single woman. Now I'm reversing the tables. I want to control every single man.
How am I controlling a woman? You think it's healthy? You think it's healthy for women to go out and get pregnant? You think it's healthy for women to go out and get pregnant at will and go out and have children and then have an abortion? You think that's a healthy society? Well, that's what you're saying.
You don't like that the women want to control your body. You don't like it, do you?
Listen, like I said, take it up with the
Lord.
Don't take it up with me.
Well, I think that the women demand that when a boy turns 18, he gets a mandatory vasectomy.
Well, I'll just take a page out of your book then. I'll take a page out of your book and I'll just declare myself a woman then. I'll just say I'll identify myself as a woman, right?
That would be wonderful. I would love that.
I hope somebody discriminates against you.
My God, you're an idiot.
That's what the Democrats want, right? I could just say I'm a woman if I want to, right?
Go ahead.
I mean, I identify myself.
Go ahead. You're still going to get that vasectomy. If I wrote the law, you're going to get the vasectomy.
Okay.
How do you like it?
Listen, the George Soros and the Democratic Party has been hijacked by George Soros and New World Order Progressive Communist Manifesto for many years now. You just don't see it. You're blinded. You're blinded.
What
country do you think we live in? I bet you think we have a democracy, too. We're not a republic. I bet you think we're a democracy, right?
He doesn't want his body controlled.
Hey, Lori, David, Eric Brantley here for
Michigan. And because he doesn't want his body controlled, we now all of a sudden have become communists.
I don't want to control a woman's body either. But I told you, the baby's wife.
That's what you're doing.
I have a question.
Take that up with God.
Okay, Lori has a question. And we have a call from Louisiana. Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
All right.
Okay. Have you heard of Project 2025? Have you read it?
I say that again. Somebody's got noise in the background.
Read,
I can't hear you.
Have you read Project 2025 that was put together by the Harrington Foundation and 30 other conservative think tanks? Have you read that?
No, I have not.
Okay, I suggest that you read it. You can go on our website if you want to read it, because I took the time to break it down. It is 1,000 pages, and I think you would find it interesting.
Okay, I'll take it, and I got one for you, too. Please go read George Orwell's 1984, because that would be a good start.
Okay, sure.
Come on. I didn't say nothing bad about your recommendation. I'm just giving you another recommendation back. That's all. I'll take your recommendation.
I will do that. Now, listen, the reason I brought that up is because This is something that has been worked on for quite a while by the Harrington Foundation. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They will rule the world if you let them. So go ahead and read Project 2025 and then make some comments on it when you're done, because I believe that you might change your mind about a few things.
Okay. I'm interested in hearing your other callers. I mean, I would stay quiet, but, I mean, I understand I'm taking up a lot of time.
Eric calling from Michigan, and there's a call from Louisiana. Hello, both people. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Eric Brantley here, everybody. How's it going?
Oh, just
hello,
great,
ladies,
Eric.
Right quick, I just want to say this. Of course, most people here are already familiar. Delegate, trustee, Michigan Democratic Party, YouTube channel, which I'll plug in a little bit later. David Laurie, thank you for allowing me to do this again. Occasional co-host and producer of the show. Elaine,
yep.
Susie, I think you both are here. Good to hear from you too. And then the caller from North Carolina, I didn't catch your name because I called in late. What's your name?
Joe Gibson.
Joe Gibson. Okay, so Joe, nice to meet you. My name's Eric. I'm from Michigan. Well, yeah, I called in a little bit late, and of course, it's not uncommon that we will have plenty of heated debates and discussions on this show. And give me your take. So, what was this? You guys were talking about abortion, if I'm not mistaken. Is that what you guys were mainly talking about?
Mm-hmm. Oh, all different things. Immigration, abortion.
Yeah, Trump policies,
you know,
whatnot.
Okay. So I just want to offer this question right here. And like I said, Joe, you give me your honest answer, and let's see how we can work this out right here. So I'm just curious. Now, keep in mind, I've brought this up before. Now, this may not be my personal strongest issue, and I don't probably think it should be the strongest issue for most men in general. I know we were talking about the whole gender thing and whatnot. But you said that even if, and I'm not trying to sound argumentative here. I'm just genuinely trying to understand. You said that even if the woman is raped, or even if there's a case of incest or whatever, some thing that happened in that vicinity, you're saying that even if there's problems with the doctor and say, well, you can't give birth, so even if she gets pregnant that way, you're saying that she should still have the baby. I'm just curious to know as to why you believe that, and because I didn't really hear enough of an elaborate answer.
If the woman's life is in jeopardy, no. Obviously, we would choose the woman's life first. Obviously, no.
Okay. Well, then that explains the reason why most people on our side are saying that we are more pro-choice in that particular sense, because there's a lot of people on the other side who say that, no, she just can't have the abortion regardless, no matter if the life is in danger or if it was incest or rape. I mean, what do you think about people on that side who make that argument? I'm just curious to know what you think.
Well, they're entitled to their opinion, but I don't think putting a mother's life in jeopardy is very, you know, again, killing an adult over a child that's not born yet that still may die also, you know, it's common sense. Let's use a little common sense here, you know? Makes no sense. You're going to force her to go to full term, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, if
even
she
even
birth,
okay,
okay
even
it through,
Joe,
it,
even, even if
one, which
Joe,
makes it worse.
All right, Joe, even if a baby is known to have problems, like, you know, brain problems, they have eyesight problems, and a mother with her body choose to say, hey, this baby, you know, whoever blind, whoever, you know, won't able to walk or some neurological problem, so isn't it her choice because it's her body to decide, hey, I don't want this baby, let it go? Isn't it her choice?
Yes.
If the baby's going to be born healthy, or just because the baby has some sort of defect, or maybe has a Down syndrome or something, no, you shouldn't still take that life. If the mother's life is in jeopardy, yes, then you choose the mother. But again, we should never choose to take another life. That baby is a life. It is born a life. And it should not
what
be terminated at all.
But it's between her, her doctor, and whichever deity she believes in, Joe. You know, and it's not enshrined in the Constitution. It's a separation between church and state.
So
you know,
who speaks for the baby, sir? Who speaks for the baby's right?
Who wants to do that?
How does the mother? The mother could choose if a child lives or dies.
Yes.
Because
and
it's her body.
She does, especially
it's
if
her
you
body.
Rape. Or incest, you better believe it. Rape or incest, you better believe it.
Well,
to begin with, not a baby.
Hold on a second. Let me just slide this part in right quick, because And I, listen, Joe, to tell you the truth, and just from the little conversation I have heard from you, I mean, obviously you appear to be more conservative, right-wing, so, I mean, I'm going off the assumption that, listen, here's the deal. I can honestly agree with a good portion of what you said. Yes, I agree with you that, listen, in the idea of saving a life, I mean, I can agree with a lot of that, and I can agree, like, hey, if it is the life of the mother, if it's in danger, then it should be her choice to be able to abort. I'm glad we can at least agree on that part. The problem that I have with the argument coming from the other side in regards to that is that when we say things like, hey, if it's the case of rape, incest, or the life of the mother, the other side says, well, those cases are not as likely, but we don't know every single person's situation. That probably happens a lot more than you and I both think. So that's what we're trying to look out for, and that's the point that we were making.
Yeah, okay, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really unfair about it.
What
like
you
say,
have
you
to understand, Joe, what you have to understand is that it's the mother, it's whoever maybe raped her, if it was an uncle, a brother, who knows, or if she was in an abusive relationship, you don't know. I mean, there are probably a lot of reasons why people do not want to have their babies. Now, the next thing is, in Alabama, let's go a step further. What do they want to do in Alabama now with in vitro fertilization? Yeah. They want to even take it a step further. So why is it that these Republican men, and most of them are men, want to control women's bodies? That's how I look at it. It's control of a woman's life, her future, and her body, and what she does with it, and what she can do with it, or cannot do with it, or what she can handle in her life, and what she can't handle in her life. It's no one else's business between her God, if she believes in God, if she believes in Allah, if she believes in the spirit of the sun, who cares, and the other people that are surrounding her in her life that she makes the decision with. Not a Republican senator, not a congressman, not a man that has nothing to do, not a politician. Let's put it that way. Period.
In America, we have something called the Constitution.
You don't like to be told what to do. Would you like to be
no.
told what to do?
The Constitution says she has that baby.
Would you like to be told what to do? As a man,
we're not.
You didn't like you didn't like the vasectomy idea, did you? Now, how would you like
it if you were pregnant
what
to do.
And
you
did not want to be pregnant? What?
You keep saying control a woman's body. No one wants to control a woman's body.
That's control. If you want me to do something I don't want to do, that is control. Do you understand that? That is control. If you want me
to do something,
if a politician tells me that I have to do something that I don't want to do, that is called control. No one controls me. I control me.
All right, Joe, you're
telling
me
not to go 100 miles an hour down Interstate 91, you know? I mean, is that control too? You know, I mean,
okay.
We have laws. We're a country of laws.
But you know what? But see, let me tell you real quick.
Order. Everybody. Order. Joe, you're talking about the Constitution. The Constitution said anything about, you know, abortion or... You mentioned the Constitution. What you're saying about the Constitution.
Yep. The Constitution, well, just like the Second Amendment you brought up earlier about guns, obviously you're against guns. It brings that up. You know, Constitution addresses a lot of people. Doesn't it go say abortion? Obviously not. What does it say? You're endowed by our Creator. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everyone that is born in this country. Well, a baby is born in the mother's womb in this country. That child has those rights endowed by our Creator.
Once it's born.
Once it has a heartbeat.
Yeah, it was not
no.
meant to be like
no,
that.
No.
The Bible says, I knew you in your mother's womb before you were born.
Do the babies that are frozen from IVS have a heartbeat?
No.
Does 10 monkeys on at the end of a stick dance? I mean, you're giving me scenarios here, every single scenario.
Alabama just decided that frozen embryos, not children, embryos are children and can't be killed.
Yeah.
But they don't have a heartbeat. If you take a baby and freeze it,
is that embryo in the mother's womb?
Dead.
living? Is living
no.
and breathing? Is the
no,
okay.
it's
then
not.
It's not a life.
It's in a cryobank.
Well, then explain that to the Alabama Supreme Court, because they're Republican assholes there who just decided that they do. And now
oh,
you
I haven't
have
looked
to
into that
them.
Case, though. I haven't looked into that case, to be honest with you, so
well,
I don't know anything
about
it.
You probably should, because they're turning their reasoning around. You say because it has a heartbeat. First off, embryos don't have a heartbeat because they don't have a heart. They have electrical impulses that travel through their cells that pulse. Hell, you could take the end of your finger off and lay it on a table, and it will pulse for quite a while. But it's not alive. It's not a person. It's just electronic embryo pulsations. It's not a heart. You can't have a heartbeat without a heart. And they don't have hearts at that point in time. It's a cluster of cells who have electrical pulses that are joining, and they're growing, and they're moving and doing stuff.
I will agree with you.
Yes, but they are not people. And if they cannot live outside the mother's womb, then they're not a separate individual. They're just a cluster
correct.
Of cells inside her womb. But you want to regulate that if she is, you know, in the middle of a college degree and she's going to graduate and this is going to mess her up. Or she's got three kids she can already not afford to feed. And here's another one and a father that's gone again. You know, who are you to say that she has to put her life on hold and do that? I got pregnant at a rape in college from somebody who I thought was a – pardon?
She made the decision when she decided, and the father did too. They both did when they decided to have sexual intercourse and to create a child.
Okay, and when he's gone, what do you do about it?
I can't control. Again, you're talking about control.
Was a friend who decided to help himself to my body without asking, without permission, and did that, and then acted like he didn't know me from Adam the next day. I'm supposed to want to have that baby.
Well, he raped
God,
you.
That's
he raped you. He
yes,
raped you. You're saying
that's what rape is.
Because wait, wait a second. You said rape is because he had sex with you and didn't
let's
know you the next day.
He
raped me because I didn't consent to it. I was in a building with him, and the next thing I know, I'm pinned flat on my back with a knife at my throat.
I didn't have
a choice. I didn't pick the knife at my throat.
Okay.
And
well,
I didn't choose to get
correct.
Pregnant out of that. Huh?
I said you're absolutely correct. That is rape. You're right.
You're
okay,
right.
Hold
it
on,
is.
Hold on. Right.
But I have
right,
to
wait,
have
right,
that
wait.
Baby when I'm
no.
a freshman in college? No, I don't.
No.
And it was before
okay,
Roe v.
So,
Wade,
so,
and I had
so,
to go to New York to have an abortion.
So let me bring this out right quick. Let me just say this, everybody. So here's the thing. So, Joe, I think there's a little bit of a communication here when we – because I do want to go back to the debate you were having about control and as far as what the laws are saying. Listen, you and I already know and we agree. Most of us here agree. Yes, there is such a thing as law and order. Yes, there is such a thing as rule of law. There is a constitution. There are certain things that we are allowed to do and certain things we're not allowed to do. I get that. So we're all on board with that. I think what they're trying to say, I can see if I can kind of word this a little differently, is that when they're saying that a lot of the government wants to, quote-unquote, control women's bodies, they are saying that there are laws in place where, of course, some states have it legalized and others are still not legalized, where it safeguard access to a woman having an abortion, depending on what the situation is, whether it be the life of the mother, whether she was raped, whether there was an incest case. Now, some states have it to where you can have the abortion regardless of what happened. Other states don't allow it. The point that they're making and the point that a lot of liberals and leftists are making is they are saying, and this goes back to when this goes back to when Kamala Harris was a senator and when she was questioning, when they were doing the hearings about whenever Trump appointed somebody on the Supreme Court and they were asking the questions about the abortions and the women's rights and whatnot, where she asked,
were
there any
lie to them, you mean?
Hold on. Let me say this right quick. Where she asked, were there any laws ever created in the United States in regard to men's bodies, which there has not been. And so I think what they're saying is if there's going to be a law that's in regard to women's bodies, they might as well have laws in regard to men's bodies, which I say probably not either one. Like you said, in the case
yeah,
of the woman,
probably
like,
not either
things,
one. But that's
I think,
not what's
I think,
happening.
I think that that's, wait, hold on. I think that's what they were referring to. So, Joe, do you understand that a little bit better?
I understand that. Yes.
Right, right. That's all we were trying to get across. And I just wanted to
so
make sure we were clear on that understanding.
Why is it okay to make laws about what women can do with their own bodies but not men?
Again, I'm not looking at that aspect. I'm looking at it as the life in the mother's womb that needs to be protected.
Well,
you know, and again,
which is not a separate life.
Time.
It takes at least 26 weeks
okay,
before
okay.
that
know,
is capable
I think
of surviving
let me
on its own.
Everybody, let me try this. Let's do this right here. Let's try this. How about this? We've already agreed on the life of the mother. We can at least agree on that much right there. Now, my next concern is
except
this.
Except we don't.
When it comes to the case of rape and incest, now, you've already established that even if the woman's raped, she should have the baby. Let's try this right here. My question is, even in the case of incest, now, I haven't looked at the data and the percentage numbers, so I can't tell you how often it happens. But in the case of incest. Wait, hold on. Right. But hold on. In the case of an incest where this woman could be at the age of 18 or 19, she could be raped by her uncle, her brother, her cousin, whoever it may be. Why is it that you believe she should still have the baby in that particular case, knowing that the more complications and things that will come with that? I'm just curious to know why.
If there's going to be more complications in the pregnancy, and with the science we have today, we could definitely prove that. If that's going to be true or not, then obviously I would not have a problem with that. And besides, that should be up to the family and the individuals involved then, and the doctor.
Well,
But wait, hold on.
So my follow-up question to that is this. And now, I don't know if you're married or have a girlfriend or got kids or anything, but let me just use a hypothetical here. Let's just say, matter of fact, I can take that part out of the equation. It may not be as relevant, but let me just say this. And I know this is like an anecdotal argument. I know this doesn't seem to be like more personal or whatnot, but I'm just curious to know how you would react if it was your girlfriend, if it was your sister, if it was your female cousin or somebody that a female that you're close with, and let's say
your
that
daughter.
Happens to her. And she can't live with the pain of having the baby of somebody who just raped her or somebody who just incested her. So my question to you is, how can you not see that as much of an exception as the part of the woman's life being in danger? That's the part I'm trying to get to.
If her life is not in danger, you know, you're using all these scenarios. As me being a rightly dividing Bible believing Christian, I would say no. Abortion is murder.
Go ahead.
I would say no. Well, if they happened in my family, I would disagree with it.
Eric, what about the science? What about the science of it? It is not. It is a fetus. It cannot live outside the womb until after 7 months.
Talk about the abortions of the Democrat policy in like Virginia, taking it all the way to term and then killing the baby. Do you agree with that?
No, it aborts at term. Give
so
me
you
a
agree
break.
With term? You agree? Yes. Yeah, why not?
It says Joe,
in the Bible,
Joe, I sat at meetings where films were doctored. They were doctored. And they were talking about partial birth abortions, and there is no such thing. No woman carries her fetus to 9 months and then abort.
Really?
You are out of your fucking mind.
Really?
Okay, I'll look that up for you.
That is where you have really, really went over the line. No woman ever aborts at 9 months.
Hold on, everybody.
26 minutes left. British Columbia, Canada. Hello, welcome to the show. British Columbia, you're live online. You want to say anything, or you'd rather listen?
Are you
talking
to me?
Okay. Yes, British Columbia. British Columbia, Canada. Hello.
I'm not British Columbia. I'm Alaska.
Alaska. Okay, welcome to the show, Alaska.
Okay, well, good to have you on the show, then. What's your name?
My name is Boyd.
Boyd.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
How
can we help you?
So you've been listening and everything. So what's your thoughts on this whole abortion thing and the immigration thing and, you know, what's your perspective on it?
Well, on the abortion thing, I think too many people, too many women are using it as birth control.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there is a ton of birth control methods and procedures out there beforehand. And if the woman chooses not to use them and gets pregnant, well, that's kind of on her. You know, I mean, everybody's sitting here talking. Hey, everybody's sitting here yelling and screaming about rape and incest. Well, you know, those are arguments on the fringe, as far as I'm concerned, because rape and incest should require a police report. And arrest and convictions of the man.
No.
Why not?
No.
Why?
Well, okay, but here's my question about that. And again, I agree with you. And most of us would agree with you. I think all of us, anybody decent person would agree. Yeah, in the case of any crime, rape, assault, murder, you know, kidnap, whatever it may be. Yeah, of course, there is a thing called we have police. And yeah, there's the report and you go to that. And anybody knows that. And I guess the one thing that I'm trying to figure out is I'm just really trying to get to the root of if it is the case. Now, again, like the other – Joe had already said, if it's the case of the life of the mother, we can agree on that. I'm trying to figure out why that same rule can't apply to rape and incest. Now, I agree with you. They shouldn't use it as a birth control. But the fact of the matter is you're going to have some of them that will do that. I do believe that a majority of them who are doing that, who are having the abortion, it's not just everybody just wants to have – endless unprotected sex, and every time we get pregnant, oh, let's just go abort. Okay, let's go have sex again. Now let's abort again.
I mean, here's my point. Okay, there's been approximately since Roe v. Wade has come into being, there have been some 60 million abortions performed.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
So?
Okay. Yeah. So? Has that been 60 million rapes and incest?
Or
has it been birth control? Or has it been birth control?
Can I please finish? Okay. Most rapes are not reported. Remember that little 10-year-old girl that doctor got in trouble with in Ohio for doing an abortion? Did she report her father for rape, and did he get convicted and praised? Does that happen ever? Because there's a 10-year-old child in a position of authority to be able to do that to her father or her uncle or her cousin or her brother? Or is she confused and horrified and terrified about what happened to her, and it's getting worse and worse because now she's not getting her period? I mean, come on, have a little bit of compassion for someone other than yourself.
Yep.
I'm not having any compassion for myself. I really don't give a shit because I don't have no compassion. But the thing about it is that the thing about it is, where is it that the doctors haven't reported this stuff?
Because they're not required to, because then the people wouldn't be able to see them. I didn't report it when I was raped because it was somebody that I thought was a friend. I was a freshman in college. My parents had to stick up their butt about all kinds of sexual stuff, and I would have been yanked out of school that I had been waiting my whole life to go to. And it's none of your goddamn business how it happened. I should not have had to be forced to lose my college degree, to lose everything that I've been waiting for in life because some guy thought it was okay.
That darn child, right? That darn child.
Shut up.
Yep.
Let me get this. Wait a minute. I want to understand what she just said, and I want her to want to ask her a question.
And then I want to do a counter.
You were raped, okay?
Yes.
That's what you claimed. And your parents would not have sent you to college for your education to where you wanted to be. Well, I put
no,
that
they
blame.
Would not. They would
I put that.
Me out of school.
I put that blame. I
that
put
you
that,
are, that it, women just go around having random sex and are whores all the time. And that's how
I
would have been treated.
I put that blame on your parents.
Well, that wouldn't have fixed my problem, would it?
Wait, hold on.
No,
okay, so hold on.
But it
hold
doesn't
on,
change
on.
The position I was in. It doesn't change the fact that I had just started my schooling and I would not be able to finish it.
Sure you could. Sure you could. Why can't you
well,
finish your
I
school?
Could.
Why?
Oh, my God.
Huh? Because they would have come and got me and yanked me out of school. That's why.
Wait, hold on. So my question goes to the guy who was just making that
because
point.
Because I was 17
right.
years
I just
old.
Want to, wait, hold on, hold on, hold on.
You.
Order. I just want to
well, you turn 18 in 1 year.
And yeah, and then what do you do with a kid? How do I live? How do I support myself?
You survive.
How do I go to
like
college?
Many other American women do. You survive.
Oh. Why should I have to make it more difficult for you?
Like you said, you don't give a shit, do you?
No.
So my
you clearly don't.
No.
Should I give her free handouts? There's welfare. Everyone gets welfare. There's free Medicaid. You know, come on. You act like there's nothing out there for the woman to take advantage of. Come on. She's not left out there on a curb.
Hold on. But wait, there's a couple things I want to bring up. Hold on. Wait, everybody, there's a thing I want to bring up right quick. There's two things I want to bring up about those points that Joe and Boyd just brought up. There's two things I want to bring up. One, and this is just a genuine question. I'm not trying to sound like a smartass or anything. I just genuinely want to know, do you feel sorry about the fact that this woman who just described her story, that she had been raped by the guy who she thought was a friend? Is it fair to say that that's an unfortunate incident, right?
Yes. That makes me angry, yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad it makes you angry. So you and I are both angry about that. So, okay, there's another point of agreement. Now, the other point that I want to go to is this, and I'm actually trying to look for it, and I can't remember exactly when this took, but, and I don't know how many times this has been brought up for a vote, but there, like you said, there are other options a woman has. We all know, and I can sit here and tell you, yes, guys and girls, if you don't want to have kids, whatever, you know, you don't want to risk her getting pregnant, she should take birth control, he should wear a condom. All the things that our parents taught us and told us when we were kids and preached about, we get all that. But there has been some piece of legislation or some bill that was brought up to have more access to things like that, and a lot of the people, there were a lot of government officials who voted against it. I'm not even sure it entirely passed. So my question is, shouldn't we be blaming a lot of the politicians who voted against that? So that's why a lot of the women who are making the decisions they're making about abortion is why they're doing it. So that counters the point about them having the abortion just because they think it's a form of birth control. That's why I said that it's not like they're having abortion because they're trying to have fun. That's not what that's about. So this is a lot more complex than what we're realizing here. You see what I'm getting at?
Yes, I do. And it goes to the morality of the country also. You know, it goes to education. It goes to, you know, your upbringing, your family values. And we see that's all going to hell in a handbasket in this country. So let's kill the babies.
And,
you know, I mean, that's the attitude that I'm getting.
And I did use birth control with my boyfriend when I had voluntary sex. I wasn't planning to have sex that night because I was at a different function with people from my classes and stuff that he happened to be with. And he decided that would be a good time to just do what he wanted to me, regardless of how I felt about it. And I wasn't prepared with birth control, and he didn't use a condom. So that's just
wait
much
a second.
On him.
He raped you. How could you be prepared? How could you be prepared? He raped you.
I couldn't. That's the point.
No?
I wasn't prepared because it
and
went
if,
on
if
my
was,
schedule.
And
her
if,
other
and
point
if,
is,
if,
and her other
if
point
I was,
is, just 1 second. And her other point is that that child was not planned. That child was not in her radar. She was 17 years old. Care if she turns 18 the next year. It's you have it in your life, and it's her right to do whatever she wanted with that unwanted child. She was not planning on having sex.
Penis.
She was not planning
penis.
On being
not
a mother.
Fetus.
It's a cluster of cells.
It's up to her.
Yeah, it's just a cluster.
It
doesn't have a heartbeat or nothing. Yeah.
It's excuse me.
Right.
I want to finish. It is up to her if she wanted to keep that child or not. Not you, not you, not a politician, not a senator, not God. It was up to
when do we intervene? When does that child have rights? When does that child get obtain rights that we protect them? What, 5 years old,
born,
10 years old?
It says in the, it says in the Bible when it draws its first breath.
What? No, that's not what. No, that's not what it says in the Bible.
You just say that in the Bible. You need to
it says, I knew you in your mother's womb before you were born. The Bible, Jeremiah.
Oh, that's
okay. So you're a life.
You don't know what it's
God
like.
God says, I knew you before.
You have no.
Oh, look, I'm just quoting the Bible.
Stop. Bible, nothing. You have no clue what it feels like to be Christ. You have no clue.
Well, the Bible is the cornerstone of this country.
Speak
and the foundations of our republic.
I am talking.
No, it isn't.
And you have no right to say anything because you're a man and I'm a woman. And if I don't.
Oh, wow. Really?
I don't ask you.
Oh, really?
You already said that you don't want any kids, so good for you. And what if I don't want any kids? Good for you.
No, I don't want any kids. Who said that?
My decision, your life, your decision. Do you get that? Either that or you can have a vasectomy.
Well, what about all these kids coming across the border then? I don't want them
here
leaking off the system. What about them?
A kid's across the
border. Well, come on now.
I feel sorry for the
kids. Well, it's okay to take them, but it's okay to kill our children.
I feel sorry for the kids across the border. I feel sorry for them. I have empathy for them. I do.
But you don't care about your the children being born in America.
Oh, my God. They're not born,
People.
They are not born.
Hold on, everybody. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Job 33:4, it says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Okay? Where is it? Psalm 104:30. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. You know, so this is God-given, you know, breath, you know. So life begins when you first breathe. All these paragraphs, Isaiah 42, verse 5, basically are saying the same thing. You know, once you breathe the first breath, that's when life begins. So Joe, I disagree with you respectfully.
God is the creator of all life. Well, it also says God created the creator of all life. Okay? So therefore, we don't have the right to take life.
When they're breathing outside of the body, sure, I'll agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one last question before I let everybody go. So, Joe, after the child is born, why is it Republicans hate children that much? Like, they don't want to give them SNAP programs.
I have a question after that, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, they don't want to give them SNAP program. They don't want to help them in terms of
you can go
cut lunches.
You know.
No parental leave after the mother gives birth and everything. You know, why? No health child care. You know, why is that Republicans are against, you know, children who are born, especially the poor kids who just want a hot meal at least once a day?
Well, again, all the poor communities I see in this country are democratically run. San Francisco, Seattle, Portland.
Here we go. Oh,
God. Look, I can't answer a question.
What about Arkansas? What about
Name one Republican controlled city.
Alabama.
What about Texas?
Alabama.
They are so poor there, they can't even read. Give me a break.
Those are states.
You're crazy.
Those are states. I'm talking about cities. These policies about welfare, these policies are created locally by the county.
No, they're not.
All right. Yeah, to be continued, Joe.
Guess what? Here's my question. Here's my question right
here. Joe, thank you so much for calling in.
I appreciate it. When do you do shows? What's your schedule? I mean, this is the first time I've ever caught your show.
Oh, when is Joe going to have his bisectomy?
Okay, Sundays,
Tuesday
Mondays,
night,
and Thursdays.
Yes, y'all.
Okay.
When are you going to have your vasectomy?
The show is on every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. That's when we're on.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Just one thing, Lily. Yes. It says, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's in Book of Psalms 139. So,
when are you going to have your
bisectomy?
When are you
going to
have
a Republican. When you become a Republican.
When you're going to have your bisectomy? I was a Republican. I wouldn't shit on a Republican anymore.
I guess I ain't having a bisectomy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Bisectomy,
thank you.
Bisectomy, Charles. I want to control your body.
Hey, Joe, since when is the Bible the foundation of our government? The Constitution is, not the Bible. There is no...
The Constitution is for a religious and holy. The Constitution was written by for a moral and religious people. That's quoted by Thomas Jefferson.
No, it was not.
It was
written by people escaping the pressures from Europe of having to change their religion every time the king got a different fucking wife.
This country was founded.
Where did you hear that?
What?
Where did you hear that?
I know. Where are you getting your history from?
Why do you think people left Europe and came here was to get away from the point of a sword where they were
fleeing
told
Democrats.
What religion they had to be? Huh? Goodbye.
Everybody, you
went to a different civics class than I did.
Joe, get a bisectomy.
Well, thank you. So you're
well,
on Sunday.
I'm not allowed to have sex. So there.
Joe, get a vasectomy.
Well, anyway, it was a good podcast. I appreciate
Joe
you having me on, the host. I appreciate you having me on. And hopefully I can bring more people to the platform.
Thank you so much. Yeah, John Boyd, thank you so much for calling in and everything. We really appreciate
it.
First-time caller, Joe is from North Carolina. He's running for the state house, I think District 65, if I remember correctly. And Boyd is a first-time caller as well from the great state of Alaska.
Okay.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah, his name is Joe Gibson, and he's running for in North Carolina.
Yes, Joe Gibson is running for District 65, House Seat District 65. We'll have him on the show soon to, you know, talk to him one-on-one and everything, and hopefully there's no shouting match, you know, because we want to have a discussion, like, you know, give and take and what have you, and argue, you know, in a organized way instead of shouting at each other, because it's not helping anything. We'll shout back and forth and 3-4 people talking at one time, you know, but...
David, you don't understand how a woman feels when a man can insist that she has no rights.
Yeah.
In fact, you should know how it feels.
Yeah.
You should know how it feels to be stepped on and pushed.
Yeah.
Joe has no business with his propaganda. And that's all he was doing was giving propaganda. Oh, he didn't like the idea of a vasectomy. Oh, no, that just wouldn't fly. And then he comes out with a lie that organs are harvested at the family planning clinics. That is disgusting. I am sick of Republican men and some stupid Republican women and their propaganda.
Well, we're going to have him on the show one day soon and everything. You know, and I'm so sorry that, you know, feelings were hurt and, you know.
No, it isn't feelings are hurt. Women are sticking up for themselves.
Yeah.
We aren't going to be pushed in the corner no more. The black people aren't taking it, and neither are the women.
Black lives matter,
and so do women's lives.
You know, it's terrible, David, to be told that, you know, because you're a woman and you get pregnant, that you have to have that child, that they think and they can tell you that you have to have that child. It's just like someone telling you, well, you know, you, let's see, you bought that hamburger, even though you're allergic to it, so now you have to eat it. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
it's the risk
just, of
your life.
Feel so,
or somebody tells you you can't drink from that fountain because you happen to be the color of chocolate.
Yeah, it feels so raw, you know, like they're trying to, not even a human being, like you're just a person.
Mm-hmm.
They're just supposed to, you know, spit out a baby, even if you don't
we're
want
a,
it.
No,
and
we're a sex object, and I'm getting sick of that kind of feeling.
Yeah, and then who's going to take care of it? Because you don't want that child to begin with. I mean, they don't have a plan.
They downtrodden help for the women. They downtrodden that. They thought that was just, oh, the woman can just go on welfare and get all the free stuff because that's how the Democrats have created it. I am sick of men's propaganda.
And I got to tell you, I wanted to punch somebody in the throat when he said that. Yeah, like I should just have had that baby, shouldn't have any matter about how I feel when I look at him and remember what happened and how he came about.
That's what I was trying
I should just go on. Yeah, I know, and I appreciate you sticking up for me. But then he also says, if the woman's life is in danger, we don't have any problem with that. We'll explain that to Governor Abbott and that asshole DA in Texas. That woman whose life was in danger, and she went someplace else, and now they're threatening to press charges against her for having traveled someplace else.
But not only that.
But they say that she had
IVF, that she now took her eggs out of Texas, and they've already contacted a lawyer, and they didn't say what state, but her eggs are in another state now. So
well,
they'll
good.
Probably go after her.
But,
and,
I mean,
and then,
my God.
And places like Hobby Lobby, which is a Christian organization, will not give you a medical insurance. They will not pay for birth control, but they will pay for the little blue pill.
Right.
And women aren't supposed to be angry.
Yeah.
And even in the military, the guys can get it for free, but women don't get any kind of lady health care. When they're in the military, because, you know, they're just supposed to be secretaries and shit. And we're not really humans.
No. And that's what I have.
The army hat on a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Thanks for calling in. We got to go. You hear the music in the background. So we'll thank everybody. Too much names to call, but, you know, Joe in North Carolina, Elaine, Eric, Doris didn't get a chance to talk. Boyd in Alaska, first time caller. You know, thanks everybody. It's been an interesting show. And, you know, we'll hear your valid points, ladies. And we'll fight tooth and nail in November to get back those rights. Because women's rights is human rights. You know, and we're going to have Joe on a show one-on-one one day. We'll set things up. And coming up in the 10th of this month, we're going to have, what's her name, Christina Hines. She's running for the prosecutor for Macomb County. But when she wins, she's going to be the first ever woman prosecutor. So, you know, look out for that interview. All right, so again, we're going to be on tomorrow night, same time, same place, Block Talk Radio. This is Kitchen Politics 123 for March 3rd, 2024. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. I need a drink, so I'll talk to y'all later. Good night. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Thank you.